there exists a subgroup, the nice guy. A dying breed of chivalrous, romantic, domesticated gentlemen whose qualities are desired by the opposite sex, allegedly. However, they are dismissed and confined in such concepts as the bestie, work husband, and the dreaded friend zone. Joe, Jason, and Manny are the last of the nice guys.
Well, hello there, guys. Welcome to another, can you believe it or not, episode of Last of the Nice Guys podcast. I'm one half of your host. I'm technically one third, but you know, that doesn't count. One half of your host, Jason. The other half with me is Manny here. And Manny, how are you? How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you,
Jason? I'm doing great. I'm feeling fantastic. Everything is gravy, baby.
You look fantastic.
No, you look fantastic.
We both look fantastic.
Absolutely
together.
Fantastic. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the podcast, Last of the Nice Guys. I know I said that already, but I'm going to say it again because you need to hear it twice sometimes. Twice as nice and delicious. Today's topic, ladies and gentlemen, is a concept I heard. I didn't come up with it myself, but I heard it somewhere. It's called the 80-20 parenting rule. And that basically is, before we get into it and start reading it, it is a parent should set aside 20% of their energy and their time for themselves, for self-care. 80% for their children and parenting, 20% for themselves. It sounds a little selfish. It sounds a little counterintuitive because some people say that when you have kids, it's all about your kids and you got to take yourself out of the equation. But after I've come up with this, in hindsight, now that I've had two adult sons and, you know, sitting down and figuring out, who am I? And I realized that I don't know who I am because I spent so much time focused on being a daddy. I never got to know, I never nurtured Jason the man. And now that Jason the man at 40 years old has two men of his own that are going off into the world, little self-identity crisis going on here, you know, that I'm kind of mitigating with travel and master's degree. And I asked myself the question, well, who is Jason? And I honestly don't know. I never explored that. Manny, I don't know about you. You started just as early too with kids. When your girls, you know, I think what do you have, like another 10 years or so?
Just about. Well, yeah, a little under 10 years.
Yeah, a little under 10 years. I mean, do you know who Manny is beyond being a daddy? You're always going to be a father. I'm always going to be a father. Father is more of a, you know, objective term based on biology and, you know, the proximity of procreating. But the daddyhood is way more, you know, intense, involved, intricate, and all consuming. Do you know who Manny is beyond being a daddy?
I would like to believe so. Although I started young as a father, there were often times where I was able to, you know, take the time and do my own things or whatever. So
I'm not saying I didn't either. I mean, for you know, half my time as a daddy, I was 50-50, but you know, I was always on call and stuff like that. Yeah, I had my fun. You know, I didn't say I didn't do anything. I didn't say I was completely devoid of it. But in your 20s, those 10 years is when you explore who you are. And usually, you know, you go out there, you jump on different jobs. You jump on different jobs. If you don't like the job, you can say, screw it. You know what I'm saying? You don't have that added, I don't want to say burden, but that's what it is, added obligation or responsibility. So, for example, I worked in the same healthcare field, pretty much in the same location for damn near 18 years because I couldn't say to hell with this job and jump into just the next opportunity. I've had opportunities, but then the question was, well, is it the right opportunity? Does it work with my parenting schedule? Does it have the right benefits? And so, but in your 20s, you know, or when you, you know, before you become a parent, you can say, well, you know what? I can take this risk and jump to the new job. The new job I have now was a risk that I took, but I was able to take the risk because both my sons were adults. So that's what I mean when I say that, that yeah, you might have had your time to have your fun, but did you really explore, you know, you as a man and develop that, you know, enough? I know I didn't.
That's a really good question. I don't think I've experienced or explored myself fully because there's a lot of things and a lot of experiences that I wasn't able to have or take.
Exactly.
Because, you know, obviously children are there and you can't you don't always have the ability to do so. So,
if you have the ability to do so, you have to, you have to temper, you know, what you do and your expectations because you don't want to, you know, do that. I almost did not do a huge opportunity to go to California for a summer to study at the University of Southern California when I had won that YouTube competition because it was going to take me away from my kids for a summer. And I was like, I mean, can I do that? You know, I don't want to leave them with their mom for that amount of time. Eventually my mom came down and she actually helped split the time. She actually came in and stayed and watched my kids and helped when I was away. And it made me feel much more comfortable to actually leave and go pursue my dream. If that didn't happen, I don't know if I would have went. Even when I was at the airport, I remember texting my best friend telling her, I don't want to go. I think I'm just going to go back and tell them something happened with my kids. Because I didn't want to go. I didn't feel comfortable leaving them for that amount of time to do something that was, you know, very, very impactful to what my passion was then. So that's what I mean when I say, I just don't know who I am. And it's okay to admit that. And it's okay to say you may not have had the opportunity to really get to know who you are, because you have to really ask yourself, when you get to that point and you have no kids that you're obligated to, or you're coming home to yourself, what are you doing? What are you thinking? That's my point. Do you know what you'd be doing? Do you know what you'd be thinking? Right now you come home, you're doing for your kids, you're earning for your kids, you're cooking for your kids. But when they're all gone and you come home to an empty house with or without a spouse, what are you doing? And for who? And why? That's what I'm talking about. And that's where I am. I'm beginning to slowly touch upon it and trying to. So as I was, you know, thinking about parenthood and saying, yes, And I'll admit this, I was a phenomenal father, I was a phenomenal daddy, right? I keep mixing the terms. Phenomenal, okay? But I came to the conclusion very recently, not even really recently, probably a year or two ago, where I said, I did right by my sons, hands down. Nobody can ever, not even their mother or their mother's mother, can ever put me down for that. Despite everything, I was there. I did it. I did right by my sons, but in hindsight, I did a disservice to myself, to the man, to Jason. That's how I've been feeling lately. I'm not regretting anything I did. I'm not regretting throwing myself full force into being a daddy, even though I didn't really want to be a father to begin with. But what I am saying though is in hindsight now, I'm beginning to realize I did myself a disservice. Why did I wait until both? It's not a coincidence that both my sons were adults when I finally earned my 2-year degree and then my 4-year degree. I had 20 years. Why couldn't I have carved out time? And I did try, but as soon as something happened, I stopped. And I went full force into going back into daddyhood. You know, I had some false starts because of parenting, because of, you know, inconsistencies. You know, not all the time. You could also say I use it as an excuse. But it's not a coincidence that new job, 2 degrees, now I'm doing my master's. All this has happened as soon as both, my sons have just stepped into the world. One is 20 now, one is 19. 2 years ago, 2-year degree. Last year, 4-year degree. That means that they were 18 and 19 at the time. I'm seeing something here. Like where did the zeal come from all of a sudden that I'm now able to like actually reach my potential that I knew I always had? Why couldn't I have done this? So there was this thing, and I know I didn't come up with this myself, but I can't find where I originally found it. It's called the 80-20 parenting rule. Okay. Basically, 80-20, if you Google 80-20 parenting, there's a lot of things there. But what I'm referring to specifically is self-care. And it says here, remember that taking care of yourself is crucial. That 20% of your self-care can lead to 80% of effectiveness as a parent. This is what inspired it in the real world. As you guys may or may not know, I've been traveling a lot. And I've been on a lot of planes. Madman, you've been, Maddie, you've been on a plane.
Been on several planes.
You've been on several planes. Excuse me. Yeah, I know you're rolling out.
I fly out for work a lot, bro.
Absolutely. And so you would know, what do they say about the oxygen masks before you on the safety demonstration?
Put yours on first before helping somebody else.
Including kids. Mm-hmm. Including helping your kids. And I heard that, and I heard that, and I heard that. And I was just like, help yourself. Because, of course, our instinct is help our kids. But then when you're trying to help your kids, you pass out and then they pass out. That was an eye-opener for me. Put your mask on first before helping others, including your children. That says something. You can't be an effective parent and you can't be an effective person if you're not also trying to care for yourself while caring for your kids. It cannot be and it should not be 100% about your children. You've got to give yourself 20%. You have to give yourself 20%.
I don't think that's selfish because you said in the beginning that it might be selfish. I don't think it's selfish some at people, all.
I have brought it up. I've brought it up to several. I mean, of course, I only have, you know, the only besides you and Joe, God rest his soul. Everybody else that I know that have parents that are parents are women. And when I brought this up, they haven't really agreed because you should, they see the merit in it. And they understand why I'm believing that, but I can say that now because I put my all into it back in the day. So of course you could say that now, but could you really do it then? I don't know, but I never thought about it. A lot of people said, no, it's supposed to be, 100% them, 100% them. And because, you should be selfless and that selfishness has to go out the way. You have to mature and become all about the children you brought into this world. And I respect that. I do, but I don't think so. I think in 80-20, principle or 80-20 parenting works. So, I asked Google and says, yes, parents can and should make time for themselves as self-care is essential for maintaining mental and physical health. I want to get very clear. Most of my parenting, I was morbidly obese. I'm talking about over 200. The worst I got was 237 pounds. And I want to make it very clear. I've lost over 90 pounds. And it began, and the pounds started being lost 3 years ago. 3 years ago was when my son was just becoming 18. Coincidence that all of a sudden I decided to start taking care of my body and myself. I am at the weight, not the body. I'm at the weight that I was in at high school. I've never been like that before. I weigh what I weighed in high school, not the body. Shut up. Not the body, but the weight. All right. I'm a significantly deflated dad bod. Is it a coincidence I started down this path about 3 years ago? Because I have 3 years ago, I was a whale. Okay. 3 years ago. 3 years ago, my son was just was 17, about to turn 18. And all of a sudden, boom. Mental and physical health, which in turn allows them to be better parents. I was a great parent. I am. But I don't think it would have made me better, but I think I would have been able to maintain me and be a fantastic parent. Maybe a little less fantastic. Maybe I'd be, amazing. You know what I'm saying? I didn't have to go as hard, right? So tips for making time for yourself. Schedule. Treat self-care appointments like an important appointment and schedule time in advance. Even small amounts of time, like 5 to 15 minutes each day can make a difference. Delegate. Ask help with childcare and household tasks from partners, families, and friends. Take advantage of quiet times. For moments of quiet times, and this is true for parents, what do you do during quiet time? You take a nap, or you clean, or you do. How many people use quiet time for themselves?
Something to distract your brain that you're not even on like parent mode.
Correct.
And that helps significantly because you're not always thinking or mm-hmm. looking, as a parent, which is definitely helpful. It's helpful for anybody's mental state.
And, engage in activities you enjoy. Do things that help you relax and recharge, such as reading, exercising, spending time, in nature, whatever. Set boundaries. Learn to say no to extra commitments and protect your time. That is when I read that, because I'm guilty of that. I was literally, whether she wants to admit it or not, on call for my sons, for my children, mm-hmm. all the time. On call. If she called me and said, hey, can you pick up the boys? She would give me an excuse, but I would say where and when. I mentioned it on this podcast that on at least two occasions that I can remember, I cut a date with a woman mid-date because I got a phone call or a text message from their mother saying, can you come get the boys? It wasn't necessarily an emergency. I can't tell you the reason why. And I got up. I said, I'm so sorry. You know, it was nice to meet you. I've got to get my kids. Of course, those women never spoke to me again. I mean, it doesn't, it's not a biting indictment on them, because they, for all they knew, I could have escaped, or it wasn't real, or maybe they didn't know I have kids, or, you know, because we didn't get that far. But I am guilty, absolutely guilty, of being on call whenever they called me. Sometimes they call me, say, hey, Dad, can you come get us early? And then let me not start with mutual engagements, practices, picking up from school, when, you know, we were supposed to do 50-50, and then she wouldn't be able to, or wouldn't follow her commitment. I remember a good example is she contacted me about putting our youngest, our chef now, he was into football before chefing, and he wanted to go to football. So she found a location, and she's like, this is the money. We spent the money down the town. And I told her, listen, I do have things to do. And so as long as we're going to split the money and the responsibility down the middle, I agree. And I can't tell you how almost immediately it went from her fulfilling her time, you know, I'll take him on to practice on my days, you take him to practice on your days, and we alternate the games, to my son sometimes calling me saying, hey, Dad, I need a ride because, you know, mom can't do it too. I did it every day. He can attest to this. This happened relatively fast. I went from just Monday, Tuesday, maybe some Wednesdays, and say, okay, I'd call sometimes, and then don't get me started with the games. I went from, and these games were all day, Manny.
Yeah, I remember. I played football. I know.
All day. I mentioned this to you guys on this this podcast or on Geek Bros podcast, where I have a video. There's a video of me there when I have a mask on my face, because I thought I was cool. I put on a hat. I put on sunglasses. You know, sitting out there all, you know, chunk-tastic. Even though it was overcast, the sun was still shining. I was out there for 8-9 hours with glasses on my face, playing on my phone. We get back to my son comes. I take off my glasses in the car. He busts out laughing. I was out there so long with the glasses. So it imprinted. My entire face got tan, but where I had my glasses, you had an outline of the glasses on my face. That is how long these games were on Saturday. And I would sit there. You know, and I wouldn't complain, but there it is. I wasn't respecting my time and saying, hey, listen, you need to go. I just gave up because I knew this was always going to happen. You know, and I'm sure you have examples of this too. Do you have an example of where you didn't set boundaries and you let it kind of encroach on your personal time? I know it has affected our production for our podcast, but that's not really that important, but I can attest to that, you know, your time with your girls or your need to do what you need to do did impact our ability to record on certain days, certain times. And even the days of.
Yeah, that's been pretty much it. It hasn't really, besides the whole dating and going out there and trying again.
Yep.
That's about it. I mean, and I'm perfectly content being single anyway. So I don't even think my kids have an effect on that, because before the girls were even born, I was happily single. So mm-hmm. It's like, you know, it's just something that just I acclimated easily. So as far as it affecting my personal life, besides the podcasting and the gaming, not really. I mean, nothing to the fact where I'm sitting here and I'm like, who the hell am I and what am I doing with my life?
But that's the thing. You're saying that now because you're still in it. I can't remember any time sitting down while during daddyhood saying, who am I? What the hell am I doing with my life? You know, I'm perpetually single and blah, blah. No, or blaming it on. I was just in it. That was my life. It's only now in hindsight, a year or two or three outside of daddyhood, that these things are coming up. So I respect what you're saying, but I would love to hear you in 10 years, you know, sitting down saying like, God damn, did it really impact me? You know, did it not impact me? You know, and really letting it stew to, you know, because I know for a fact, just like you're saying now, I would say the same thing with the exception of dating. Dating definitely, I had to date with purpose. I wasn't allowed to casually date. I only started casual dating or dating for fun in my early mid 30s, when my sons were like deep into their teenage years, like where they're driving now, where I didn't care if they knew I was dating somebody or not. But it did affect my dating, because at one point I dated exclusively single women with kids, single parents, because I thought only they would understand and respect the plight and understand, like, listen, my kids come first, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, you have kids, so you understand you know, that was because of parenting. I exclusively for several years to my detriment, I want to say, not to say there's anything wrong with dating, you know, women with kids, but for me, the ones that I chose and whatever was, it didn't really work out very well. But it was because of kids. I couldn't just look at a woman and say, God damn, you're fine. Let me go. You know, I couldn't do the whole, even if I wanted to or not, you know, casual sex or hooking up, all those are off the table because I could not, I knew that my behavior could impact my kids, you know, knocking up another woman who might be just as stressful as their mom for me would impact my kids. Getting a crazy woman who might bust up my stuff or, you know, show up at my home. You see what I'm saying? So I had to date with purpose.
I mean, I had my procedure done because of my children.
See, I'm gonna.
I would have never thought about that beforehand.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm gonna have one. I was supposed to get it for my 40th birthday. So I can never have any more kids because I'm done. I did two. I'm good. But you know what I'm trying to say? You know, Dr. McConlog shared that self care doesn't mean a big night out with a babysitter or expensive spa day. Doing even small things to treat yourself may have an impact. Parenting is a 24 hours a day job and you never get a break, she shared. But, you know, parents need to have their own time to be, God forbid, men and women, adults on their own. Mm-hmm. Whether it's having a cocktail or going out with your friends. And you, I'm sorry, I really believe that, you know, you need to reserve 20% for yourself, because if you're happier with yourself, it translates more genuinely. I don't think that that by me not allowing myself and that, you know, whatever I didn't feel about my potential, I don't think it translates to my kids. I don't believe so. They had a happy childhood, but how much of that could have been more genuine and more fulfilling for me as well, had I been, you know, allowed myself to grow while they grew. You know, parents like us, I believe good parents, a good parent, you know, kind of stunts their life a little bit, you know, to raise their kid. They mm-hmm. kind of stagnate. They kind of stop. Their growth stops. And then that's when that's why it's called empty. That's why it's called empty nesters, because because you've focused so much on raising the little birds, and then once they fly in your empty nest, you look at your nest and you're like, okay, now what? Because you didn't do anything for yourself. You didn't grow for you. You have nothing to look forward to. So now you have to now find something in your old age. And that's where midlife crisis comes. That's where the new meme is. It says, I skipped the midlife crisis and got a passport. That's the phrase now. And somebody sent it to me because they said, yo, that's what you're about. So what are you talking about? It's like, you just out there. Your kids are growing and you're just flying around. It's true. You know, I'm experiencing things, you know, and it's great. And that's what I'm trying to tell my sons now. Listen, guys, stop racing toward chasing the coin. Stop racing toward the career. That's going to come. That is guaranteed. But take these 10 years that I'm offering you and explore yourself. Find out who you are or who you can be before mm-hmm. you start working and have a responsibility. Before, God forbid, you meet a woman, you procreate, you have a family. Do not. Because I realize now, men's... And it's what something Kevin Samuels said. He says men's value increases with age. It does. I think I look, feel, sound, and act way better than I did in my 30s. And definitely a light year different than the simp I was in my 20s. I am way more valuable now as a 40-year-old man than I was as a 20-year-old daddy. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, but... how much more could my value have increased if I actually took some time during my 20s and 30s to, God forbid, enhance the man? Manny, I've talked enough. I'd like to hear your perspective on the 80-20 principle rule that I kind of made up but didn't really make up at all, inspired by the face mask, the oxygen mask instructions on planes.
I think it's definitely important. I mean, it's the same as relationships. If you're not happy with yourself, you cannot be happy in a relationship. You can't be happy with anybody unless you make yourself happy first. So it all starts with you. You can't care properly for children unless your mental state, your health is, you know, what it needs to be at. Because, you know, God forbid something happens where, let's just say, random scenario, you're overly stressed, you're overly tired, you're driving home from wherever, work or whatever, you doze off behind the wheel because you had made the decision to not get enough rest for something with the children, whatever. And then you end up, you know, dozing off behind the wheel, potentially get into an accident. Now you've hurt yourself and you're now in a detrimental situation to care for your kids. Could have been avoided if you had slept a little bit more and longer or whatever, of course. But, you know, yeah, I think it's not selfish to say that you need to care for yourself and grow within yourself to be a better parent, because without certain experiences, you can't parent anyways.
But I mean, even better than just being a parent, you know, I think I'm focusing more, yes, on parenting as well, but on just growth for yourself. Well,
that's what I mean. You know, like, if you're growing,
the caveat is, yes, you will be a better parent while you're growing.
Right.
That's just like the cherry. That's the icing on the cake. You know, it's like because it should trickle down. It should translate into a fully well-rounded man. It should become a fully well-rounded and better father. Fully well-rounded woman. It should be a more well-rounded. And of course, you can then impart more wisdom and more experiences to your children as you have experiences than mm-hmm. being stagnant. And then for like 20 years only saying, yeah, well, when I went to college 20 years ago, this is what I did, but I didn't, you know, but I never finished or I never whatever. So, and it sets a good example. I think so. I think it sets a good example that if you can do it and you're still doing it, that they say, okay, well, you know, even if there's a struggle, I can still go and look at mom go, look at dad go, you know, doing the things. And it inspires them. Even if it's not for them, it'll still inspire them because they look at you. Mm-hmm. You know, I know my boys are proud of me. I know because they know what I've been through. They're learning more now. You know, as I you know, lose the filter because they're old enough to understand. You know, the history of just their childhood and you know why certain things happen the way they happen. And I know they're proud. I know they look at me and say, you know what? If he can do it, I definitely can do it, and I should do it, and I should do better. And I believe so. I believe they're proud. I believe I set a good example for them. Even now, chasing after a master's degree right now, you know, and I'll probably get it at 41 or whatever. They're looking at that. They know I'm tired. They know I would rather be doing anything else, but I'm still doing it, you know. And why? For me. It's for me. It's for my self-worth. It's so I can feel like I've achieved as much as I want to achieve in my potential. You know, I used to say all the time when I used to have potential. I'm pretty sure I've said this many times to you guys, even on this podcast. I'd make a self-deprecating joke. I'd say, yeah, but you know, blah, 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 blah. I used to do this back when I had potential. I used to say that. I am now embracing my potential. I'm fulfilling my potential. I am achieving my potential because I've crossed. There's that phrase, light at the end of the tunnel. I was talking to my son the other day and I said, you know what I did? I actually crossed into the light. I saw the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm in the light now, but you had to go through it. But how much, but I was just kind of, what if I sprinted? That's what I think the 80-20 rule is. It allows you to sprint. It gets you there faster, you know, or it brings the light while you're in the tunnel. Maybe it turns on a light while you're in the tunnel. Who knows? But I absolutely think, and I tell this to them. I'm actually telling this to my parental friends now, and it's true. Jay, it's easier said than done. Is it though? Is it? There's got to be a way. Even if you don't have any help whatsoever, there's a way. There's a way, you know, to give yourself some time. There's a way to carve out 20% of the week for yourself. 20% is not a lot of time, believe it or not. It isn't. There's a way to do it, you know, and where you can rest, where you can do it, whether it's a bubble bath. A bubble bath doesn't take, you'll take a shower anyway. Mm-hmm. Take a bubble bath. Take a bubble bath and get one of those cheap wines from Publix.
Box wines.
Box wines, baby. Do that stereotypical bubble bath, and you can use a bubble bath with regular shampoo. You don't gotta buy that crazy bath bomb crap. You can use shampoo. Do like you used to with kids. Do it up, soak in it for 15, 20 minutes. You know what I'm saying? How much is it? How long do you shower? 10 minute shower? So do a 10 minute bubble bath. You
see
that out.
It can also be something as simple as just like something that I do on occasion where I just I got for Christmas I got a very special Star Wars decanter. Then I use it often. And you know me, I like to have a couple of drinks every now and then. And even something as simple as just pouring yourself a glass, giving yourself 5-10 minutes, sipping on it, you know, whatever. I do it on occasion. I mean, it's necessary just to have a break.
Correct.
You know, just
to feel human, to feel like an adult.
You know, just to have even a just to shift your mindset into something else. Like I was saying earlier, that doesn't deal with being a parent or, you know, thinking about your kids. It's just like, damn, yesterday I felt kind of good about myself. Mm-hmm. What made me feel good? Mm-hmm. And then you start thinking, your gears start turning, and then you start remembering, like, damn, I am a person. I am a human too. I got to care for myself. And that's stuff that needs to be more addressed.
Yes.
Just for, you know, positivity in the world. I mean, every parent needs that. Being a parent, it's very stressful. And, you know, if you're constantly thinking about being a parent, you're not mm-hmm. thinking, you're kind of taking away from yourself. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is definitely the one of the most important things that you need to do and focus on being a parent.
A good example is I had a coworker, well, she's a friend, but she was a coworker at the time. What I used to do, and she reminded me of this a couple of times ago, what she admired most about me was I used to have a legal pad, right? Whatever. It was orange. It had lines. And I would divide the pad up in half. It would be for the boys and for me. I'd write what the boys need on the left side and what I need on the right side. She said she would peer over occasionally and look at me looking at the pad. She said, I would watch you as you would cross off many, many, many things on the boys' side and your things would barely be addressed. I said, she's like, it's rare I ever saw you cross off on your side. But I admired you because I mean, you would cross off. And all I would see is just down the line, you cross, you add new things across. And basically like the line, you know, maybe I would have like 5-6 things and maybe 20 things there. The 5-6 things, nothing would be crossed off. And you'd see me just constantly going down there. And that's a good example of where I just, you know, I prioritized being a father. Not a bad thing. I'm not saying I'm wrong. I'm not regretting it whatsoever. But what I am saying though is how many of those things on the other side would have helped me, you know, boost me up a little bit, mm-hmm. would have allowed me to feel a little bit better about myself, you know, just to enhance certain things, you know, maybe doing a certification or maybe doing this or, you know, who knows, you know, because I see now I didn't lose my potential. It was delayed. It was put on pause, but I did that to myself. Nobody did that to me. You know, I allowed myself to slowly go from 50-50 to 75-25 to 90-10 to, you know, pretty much 99.9% to 100%. It naturally went that way. It went from 50-50 to 75-25 to a few flirtations with 100% back to 75-25 to 90-10 to then 100%. Right up there. By the time they're in high school, both of them were with me full time, full stop. Before that, it was like 90-10 and then 70-25. You know what I'm saying? And I allowed that to happen because, you know, again, I prefer them to be with me than anybody else, you know what I'm saying? Including their mom at the time or period. But still, you know, when was their time for me? Yeah, I was doing video editing, but video editing was a means to an end to start a business to make more money for my kids. It was my passion, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed it, but I was trying to make money from it. I was trying to make money for it because I wanted to be in a better financial situation because I had kids. That is where that, you know, that side hustle with my studio was coming from. Now, when I do my studio, it's purely because, you know, Manny won't let me stop. No, Manny won't let me stop.
No, it's a hobby.
It's a hobby because Manny won't let me stop. you know, and he put the pressure on me so much that I got a Mac Mini. See, brought it up on this podcast too. Bam! So synergy, huh? But you know what I'm saying, right? So I mean, so as a parent, as a father of daughters, as a daddy of daughters, okay, who still has about 10 years left. What are the ages of your girls?
9 and 10.
Yeah. So let's just round it up to 10 years. Well, no, it's not really. It's like 8 years. Fine. With just shy of a decade left, how? Are you like, would you try the 80-20 thing? I mean, what would that mean to you? Do you see any merit in it? Or do you believe you already embody that even though you don't know it? Because you did struggle with the question about who are you post-daddyhood. You think you know, you're fairly sure you think you know who you are. But you did hesitate. You did struggle a little bit with that question. So with that, the 80-20 and the fact that I'm really pushing this with all my friends that have kids, give yourself 20%. What does that mean to you?
I wouldn't have any idea, to be honest.
What the 20% would be for you?
Yeah. Because...
Well, playing video games with your boy would be great. Going out for a drink with your boy would be great. I didn't say podcast now. I just said having a drink with your boy.
My situation is kind of special, though, because, you know, I do work a lot, so...
Yeah, you work a lot, but you work a lot primarily for your kids.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. And my free time is very, very scarce, sir.
Which is because you're working for your kids and leaving free time scarce, the remaining free times has to go to your kids.
Exactly.
Exactly. So that's why
my situation is a little different now.
No, it's not. It's a typical situation, except okay, you have two places of employment. Well, what if we replace two places of employment with a high stressful job that requires a lot of extra time and extra hours? Same concept. There are plenty of parents that are, so it's your parameters may be different, but that's kind of typical of a single parent busting their ass working for their kids and whatever free time they have left out of obligation or out of shame or out of just feeling bad. Every single time that they don't work, for the most part, is divided up with maintaining the household, which is for the kids, and spending time, quality time with the kids, which is what you are, where you are.
Correct. So what my 20% could be at this point, I really couldn't tell you.
I know what your voice. I'm sorry, did I say that? See, guys, I get to be selfish now because now I'm a father, so I can be like, yo, I got the time.
This guy has all the time in the world now, and I'm still in it, so it's kind of hard for me to.
But I'm saying, like, I don't know about you, but you have no idea how many friends, college friends, back from my original college, from Barry, how many of them I lost in my early 20s because I just could not hang out like that, or I would not hang out like that. So, for example, when I definitely did have, my time was Sunday to Wednesday. So Wednesday was a shared day. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday is when I had my free time. I wouldn't hang out sometimes on Saturday with my friends because I knew I had to be up early, or she was dropping them off late that night. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So many friends couldn't understand it and wouldn't respect it. But what are you talking about? You have them on Sundays. Why can't you hang out on Saturday? Yes. Well, those aren't your friends. True, but they were in a different mindset. They didn't understand that I was being extra cautious.
They weren't
cautious.
Parents. They don't understand.
Correct. You know, and that's what I'm saying is that I actually would not go out sometimes on the Saturday. I didn't have them Saturdays. I wouldn't go out on Saturday, or I wouldn't go out late on Saturday. I would end the night early because I knew either she was bringing them that night after she got off or early that morning I had to pick them up. Especially back then when I was living in North Miami, I wasn't around the corner like when I intentionally moved later on. It took me 20, 30 minutes to get there from North Miami to Miramar to pick them up because either she had to go to work and I had to make sure I was there on time. Because God forbid I was late.
Yeah.
God forbid, you know, it was, listen. So things like that, you know, I lost a lot of friends. So they would ask me, I wouldn't come, and then they just stop asking. And then that's it. They're gone. Oh, we're not going to call Jason anymore for what? He's doing his thing, you know, and it's not their fault. I still remember the crews that I had back then, and but it's all right, and I understand that. But that's what I'm talking about, you know. I'm saying 80-20, Manny. Think about it. Let's talk about it. What else could you do? You have a drink, hang out with your boy, game a little bit. What else you got? You know, what about school? What about school? What about certifications? What about personal? What about personal development and personal growth? What about scholastic growth? What about professional development? You know, stuff like that. What about that?
Unless I was put in a position where I had to do something, I don't see myself doing that on my free time now.
Okay. Okay. What do you consider personal growth then? Because it's scholastic, professional, personal. So what about personal growth? What would you then pursue for personal growth? That's something that you
mean,
20. It's not all leisure. It's also
no, I know.
It's also growth, you know?
I mean, I study a lot, or I read up a lot on, you know, the physiology and psychology of, you know, people's or just the general mindset and actions. What really pushed me into that was the triggered event that sent me to be incarcerated for a few days.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that many moons ago. Can't even tell you what episode that was.
And that actually helped me learn a little bit more about myself and how to alleviate stress on my own rather than lose your mind in that one instance. You know what I'm saying? And
but it was justified, too. I think it was justified and provoked. Carry on.
Correct. But it helped me learn how to not get there again, basically.
Correct. I feel you on that.
And it put me in a different mindset, obviously. And I'm constantly, even now to this day, I read up on things on how to just be able to switch it off. Well, not just switch it off, but just express it differently and how to verbalize things differently and how to, you know, just change certain things that
trigger. Yeah. So why couldn't that be a professional growth? Why couldn't that be, you know, lead to TED Talks, lead to a book, lead to, a separate podcast, you know, back then? What if that could lead to a self-help group or a blog where you're writing about your experiences that can help? I mean, because remember, the initial reason why Last of the Nice Guys podcast exists was because, you know, Joe and I were going through it, right? We were still going through it. And we thought that this was going to be a nice, safe space for men's troubles, specifically about women. And then for us, specifically about the baby mama dramas, because we know there are other men, you know, that listen to this, or other women who get the man's perspective. I'm not saying we're helping to save the world, but I'm telling you right now, I guarantee you over the years that we've done this podcast, a guy has tuned in. You tuned in. I mean, shoot, it resonated with you so much you became a host. You know what I'm saying? So clearly, you know, that's what I'm talking about. So as you sit here and saying, well, I'm learning the mindset, this could, if you were to focus more on it with your 80-20, why couldn't that go beyond? Why couldn't you become a guru? If you know, maybe even start like a one man show, could even be like that.
Are you this guy? I see where you're going with this. I mean, I did, and I kind of lingered off of it. I don't have, you know, the Dr. Manny specials are.
Well, no, not the podcast. What I mean, one man show where you literally go on stage and you do a one man show.
But see, that's the thing. I have a few friends of mine, very close friends of mine, that also tell me I've picked the wrong profession in my life. I'm doing things wrong. I'm an entertainer.
Yes.
I mean,
yes,
that at least I've embraced. I know I'm an entertainer. But to bring it to stage in front of a bunch of strangers and even just not just with the comedy part of it, just speaking overall, like not that I have stage fright. I just don't see myself being in front of a ton of people. Like right now we're podcasting, we can do this stuff. I don't see anybody. I'm looking at you. I can talk to you or whatever. And you know, that flashy face of yours is making me feel some kind of way, but in front of
now,
like,
a now, you know, how I feel every time you get an email.
Shots fired. But
I am not too busy for this podcast. I never said that.
But I never busy
for social media.
This guy.
Sorry, I just
let it go.
Just,
it's okay. It's
and over. Just reminded me, okay, that I did. I never said I was too busy for this. Actually, I said you and Joe were too busy for this podcast. I never said I was too busy.
I've been busy, but at least I cut time for it. Can't say nothing about somebody.
The other guy. Correct.
If I see him in
Atlanta, there's an Atlanta trip allegedly coming up in 2 weeks. I'm gonna do the same thing, drag him in front of a computer and get three more episodes out of him.
We have to do, because this is episode 99 and the next one is 100.
That brings up another topic, guys. We may not have another episode, and this is gonna be self-imposed. We may not actually have another episode for a little bit because it's gonna be our 100th episode. We'd rather like it to be something special, and God forbid, in person, the three of us. I don't know how we're going to get around it. Maybe I'll force this man to do some Dr. Manny specials and I'll just be Nurse Jason and put on, you know,
and try to push it along as
well. Try to push it along. That's probably the way we're going to have to do it, guys, because it is 100 episodes and it deserves to be something special. So yeah, thanks for reminding me to let them know that if you don't get anything, it's not because nobody has any time this time. It really is because we're looking for a good, like, big 100 episode. Because, yeah, that's huge for us. Huge, huge, huge. It took us a while to get there, but it's huge. Sorry, so get back to your 80-20. So, yeah, so you don't see yourself in front of a crowd?
Yeah, I don't. As much of an entertainer and storyteller that I am or whatever, I don't see myself doing that for, like, self-help groups or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Dr. Manny thing is real simple for me to do because I'm not looking at people. I'm just speaking. And, you know, whatever, like, I can record myself, I can do audio books, or maybe I can write a book, you know, whatever. I don't know, you know, who the hell, but for me to do it in front of people, I don't know. I don't know if I can do that.
I think you can, because the thing is, though, is that you're focusing on the people part, but a one man show, you're not really engaging the people. You're just doing this in front of people. There's an audience right in front of you. That's all it is. You know what I'm saying? You're not heckling them. You're not engaging them per se. You're being you on stage and they're watching you be you. You just know these people are directly in front of you. Just like this, you're being you right now. Let's say we have 100 people listening to us. The only difference between this and being on stage is you actually see the 100 people in front of you. You know, right, they're actually there. This is implied, but it's the same thing. A one-man show means that you're playing to an audience, but you're telling your story. I'm telling you, I went to one and it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. And I want to do one, actually. I want to do one inspired by the fallout between my oldest son about the last name. And I want to call it My Son Does Not Want My Last Name. That's what I want to call. Or he doesn't want my last name, or he doesn't know his name. I have, like, different things. And basically, even though it's about that, it's pretty much going back to you know, how this happened. How did this happen? Why is it that my son, I shouldn't even have to be fighting with him about my last name, because he should have had my last name. And it was going to tell the story from my perspective, not like scorned, but more like, and he, of course, elaborate and embellished and basically say it's his mom's fault, you know, because it is. But that was the idea of that. And I really wanted to do that. There was an open mic club in Atlanta that I was going to practice it. I have an outline that I wrote, you know, to do it. And it was going to be audio cues and there was going to be music and it was going to be great. It was going to be great. I didn't follow through with it, but I'm going to eventually. It's on my bucket list. It's going to happen. After my master's degree, it's going to be about creating my one-man show, because I think it's fun. I may not be as entertaining as you, Manny, or as handsome as you, or as desired as you, but yes, I'm a hater, but I have my moments. Okay. I'm likable. So, and my story is something to tell. So I definitely, but I think it's something you can do. I absolutely think so.
I don't rule it out. I don't think it's something that's impossible. I just don't put the thought or the effort into it because I don't think that I'm at that par yet.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean? But then, okay, fine. But then to get to that par, you would need the 80-20. You need self-time to maybe fluff up whatever part of your ego needs to be fluffed up, where you feel like you're on par, where you feel like your story is valuable to that degree. And your story is valuable.
Everybody's story is valuable, but it's just whether or not you want to speak on it and how much it resonates with everybody.
It's not about everybody. It's about you.
Well, I know, but I mean, I jumped on this podcast originally on episode 26.
Oh, wow. You knew the episode 20. That was so early into the podcast. Wow.
That was my very first episode, sir.
Joe and I did not. You know, I always thought Joe and I did 50 episodes without you, but dang. And I can guarantee you've done more than him on his podcast. This is Joe's podcast originally, guys. I have to count it. I'm going to count. Yeah. And it's fine. And I think
I've been on every podcast episode that we've had, with the exception of maybe five. The three that you did with him in Texas.
In Texas, yeah.
And there may have been one or two that I wasn't able to join.
Back when, really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember that. Interesting. That's great.
But there, I've been on since 26.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. We should just do the 100 episode about you. So you should remember it then, right? So for the 126th episode, That could be another special. That would be your 100th episode, and that'd be fun. I think you should remember that. Because episode 100 is my episode. I've been on it for 100 episodes, every single episode. I didn't miss a single one. So that's kind of like, that's me. But for you, for 126 can be you. And then 335 can be Joe if he ever comes back. So.
So going back to what I was originally saying.
Correct.
I originally joined the podcast. I believe you asked me on 27, which I don't think was 27. It was called Looking Back at All the Other Topics, which I was commenting on all of them anyways. One of the questions you asked me was why I would bring to the table when joining this podcast. And
I came out guns a-blazing.
Like, yeah, you did.
Why are you here?
Like, why are you here, nigga? And I still think that to be true. I want to reach out and touch people.
Exactly.
Verbally and with experience, just to share my knowledge and to share what I've gone through.
Yeah.
You know, just to help people and help better understand, you know, you're not alone. Mm-hmm. There are other ways to go through it, and there are ways to go through things. Don't think
And ways not to go through it. You know, we've told our failures here too, and our nuggets. I think one of the biggest things that we ever said here was that communication was always the key. We always said communication. That was something you did. I said very clearly, yo, listen, go to court. I said very clearly, if I know you're afraid of being shafted, I know you're afraid of child support, but men, it stops the fighting. Go to court. That nugget came out of this podcast. You know what I'm saying? We've shared certain things where I've said, listen, do this. And I think 80-20 is going to be right up there with communication is the key for relationships and for everything. And that going to court stops the fighting and it gives you a parenting plan. 80-20, I believe, is going to be really the next big nugget that I'm going to keep referring to, saying you need to give 20% to yourself after communicating and after going to court. So go to court, communicate, and get your 80-20. You know, get that 20%. Get your 20%. Final thoughts. Okay, I'm sorry.
Because having said that, you know, once you get all that out of the way, then you're able to put time to yourself.
Correct. So it builds. Actually, look, it builds on this. You know, and it's, you know, again, it's a shame that I came up with this after the fact. But you know, the fact that I you know, I'm imparting this, sharing this, whoever's listening, and again, it's not just for guys. This is for parents in general, single parents at all. You know what I'm saying? And I would say if you're in a relationship, then make it 80-10-10. 80% for the kids, 10% for yourself, 10% for your spouse. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I would say that 80-10-10. And I mean, you know, personal things, that 20% doesn't have to be absorbed by you're still an individual. So make it very clear, even though I'm talking as a single man and I'm talking like technically as single parents, I this can also be applied to, you know, families and monogamous relationships, where 10% for yourself, 10% for your spouse. You know, or maybe 5% for yourself, 15% for your spouse, however you want to do it. But as long as you're also growing as an individual, that is huge. Mm-hmm. because midlife crises, a crisis of a sense of self, and just not knowing what's next after parenthood. Parenthood is not forever. You know what I'm saying? That level of parenthood. You'll always be a parent, but parent will not be forever. And what do you do once you no longer have those 18 to 20 years of, you know, do your homework, eat your food. And of course, that subsides as the years go by. You're in the teens, but the teens, you pretty much run out of that stuff. You need to start figuring it out.
It's very similar to retiring from a job.
Correct.
Because you're basically retiring
from a job. It is a job.
Yep.
It is a job.
It's a full-time job with very little benefits.
Yeah.
I mean, I shouldn't say, I mean, listen, being a parent is a joyous occasion. Children are a blessing.
Being a parent has a potential to be a joyous occasion. It has a potential of being a blessing. It's not automatic.
I'm speaking on my experience.
Okay.
I can't speak for everybody.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I agree. It was a blessing for me too, and a joy. Right. Just letting you know that
it's
that
not always.
It has the potential to be a blessing. It has the potential to be rewarding and you know, enlightening and all. Insert random positive adjective here.
Mm-hmm. I forgot where I was going. Damn.
That's your one man show?
No.
Well, I was talking about the you know, being an individual and, you know, taking time for your spouse as well, but also making sure that you're taken care of even in that dynamic. 80-10-10, 80-10, 85-15. That's where you were going with it. I don't know.
I was saying something where I was like, it's just like retiring from a job. Okay, right. That's where I was going. You need to, start planning and make a plan for when you're no longer a parent, same as you would have to do when you're retiring. You know, you don't just wake up one day and be like, I'm no longer a parent. I'm no longer working at this job. What do I do now?
Correct.
Like you have it all figured out. No, you have to figure it out. And with this 80-20 rule that helps you get there.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say prematurely, but at least it starts you on a path.
I think it gives you a good foundation for the man or the woman that you are. And you need that foundation.
When you do get there, yes. You know, you're ready to soar and fly like a beagle.
Or at least, you know what you want to do, where you want to go, or what you want to do post parenthood. Because, time flies. It really does. It's hard now, but you blink and the baby's a toddler. You blink, the baby's in school. You blink, it's junior high school. You blink, it's high school. And then you blink. I still wake up and I look at my sons and just like, I have adults. Mm-hmm. I can remember changing their diaper. I can remember when they were still sleeping in my bed, my full size bed, even though they had their own room and their own bunk bed. You know,
that's how I felt when my son graduated from high school.
Yeah.
And became an adult, and everybody's like, dude, I have a 20. What year are we on? We're just 2025. He's gonna be 23 this year.
Damn. Yeah, that's crazy.
Right. And I still remember, when he was younger, running around, calling me names. Just him being a baby, him being my first.
Yeah.
My firstborn, and that was an experience on its own. I still remember all of that.
Yep.
And if it wasn't for my girls, I wouldn't have any idea, because 20 years flew by. And he's an adult doing his own thing now. I'm sure he's great, doing well and happy. Yep. And I wouldn't know who I was.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for the fact that I had to reset my clock and be a parent again.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's
how many years difference is it between your
my your youngest oldest and my oldest?
Well, yes.
My middle child and my thing is
23, 12 years,
12 years difference.
That's over a decade. That's madness, bro. That's actually another topic I want to talk about. Starting all over again.
Right. 12 year difference.
Madness. You were just about to have a teen when you decided that, when you had a baby all over again. Oh my God, I can't imagine it. I cannot imagine. Because I had two sons, but they were back to back. They basically were going through the exact same thing at the exact same time.
Right.
Literally exact same time. I couldn't imagine.
It was your first time being a parent at the same time. At least with me, I had a history and I had an idea of what to go through.
Correct. So it benefited you in hindsight. Of course, I had to. Unfortunately, I told my sons all the time, you guys were the test runs, baby. Like, if I had another kid, I would have it from the beginning.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Down from the beginning. Mm-hmm. You guys were a test run. I did well as a test run, but man, were there some stumbles, many, many stumbles. And a lot of times that I gave was diarrhea. Let's just say it like that. Bro, I'm a good cook.
The wrong shit.
I'm a good cook now. Okay. 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. You didn't know what you were doing.
Yeah, of course not.
Bro.
Of course not.
I look at some of the old photos of the food that I posted all proud. Look what I cooked for my kids. And I'm like, ugh. What was that, bro? I'm telling you, I look at the food and I was proud. Then I posted like, there, I cooked
this. There's a fire in the background, and you're like, yeah, I did it.
That's why overcooked is so triggering for me, because that's why it's so triggering for me, because it reminds me of the good old bad old days when I didn't know what I was doing as a father trying to cook. I remember calling my mom, how did you do this? She was coaching me over the phone as I'm burning it right now. Like, this is great, fantastic. What now? No, I didn't do that. Great. Thanks so much. So yeah,
I've been there. I called my mom. I was like, hey, mom, how do I do this? Well, what do you got? I got this. I got this. I got this. All right. You have this? No. All right. We'll go around this and do this. I'm like, all right, cool.
It was great.
Figured out.
So final thoughts about the 80-20 rule, the merits. I already said my piece. I'm thumbs up. Do it. Do it now. If your parents start doing it now, find the 20%. You can find it. It's there. Trust me. You can find it. What about you, Manny?
I believe if
the you have our future, I know.
No, the children are going to destroy the world.
Oh, damn.
They came from the future just to
that escalated quickly.
Just to come. Let me stop. No, I believe if you have the time and you have the opportunity, you need to figure out a way how to carve out the 20% for yourself.
Mm-hmm. It's important.
It's very important, especially to just reestablish who you are for yourself, because it'll definitely, as a parent, if you don't look at that as being an ideal way to be a better parent, there's something wrong with you. Mm. You want to be a better person for yourself, yes, which would ultimately be a better person for everybody else around you, including your kids. So if you do have the opportunity and you can find means to do it, go ahead and figure it out.
Figure it out.
Even if you don't, if you feel like there isn't a way, if you just start off with Jay's legal pad and write down your time frames for the day. Obviously, if you have a newborn, it's extremely impossible. But we're not talking about brand new babies and newborns. We're talking
we're talking about you're deep into
parenthood, and your children are basically on their own, and or not on their own, but like
not on their own, but you know, you're not can, you know, yeah.
You don't there's need moments, to pamper them every 2 seconds.
Correct. You know, there's moments you can step away. I mean, you can figure out how to cook while you can figure out how to have a bubble bath. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. There's ways. Or you institute nap times. There's nap times. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe don't spend the entire nap time cleaning and prepping. Why don't you take 20 minutes out of the hour, do some aromatherapy, listen to some meditation, you know?
Yeah, if you can, it's easy as starting off as just jotting down your times a day. And just be like, all right, I normally am at work from 9 to 5. So
yes,
it takes me about an hour to get home from work. So I'll be home by 6 o'clock, 6:30. I'm cooking, you know, getting dinner ready for everybody else, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Then, you know, just write it down, you know,
yeah,
you work 5 days, 5 day work weeks. Some people work 4. Yeah. And then
you sound a little salty though. Yeah. You sound a little salty right there. I heard that. I was like, wait a minute.
A little jealous, you know, but you know, whatever. You know,
people work for 5. Some people work 4.
Some people work remote. Anyway.
Shots fired.
If you write down your times of days and you just lay out all your time frames, you can figure out a small part of your day that you can put towards yourself, whether it's 5, 10, 20 minutes, you can figure out. People go to the gym for an hour plus.
Yeah.
You know, there's ways to do it.
Yep.
They figure it out. All you have to do is just start off.
I say start with a bubble bath. I'm dead serious. Men and women. Okay. I say get a drink for a man, get a stiff drink for a woman, get yourself some bubbly. I say start with a bubble bath. Dead serious. You have to shower anyway. Mm-hmm. Yep. So start with a bubble bath. Take that time, soothe in it, and start with a bubble bath.
And that's how you start, and you just write down everything. And once you start somewhere, the path forward
opens up. You'll want to carve up more time. Again, within reason. You're not going to start neglecting your kids. No parent is going to do that, but you're going to want to. This is going to feel, you see? You're going to feel it. You're going to be like, yes. And by the way, I'm not saying that the 20% can't serve a dual function. Like I said, you have to shower anyway. So make the shower more comfortable then. Mm-hmm. So have a bubble bath and you still be showering. So you're still doing the same thing. It can have a dual function as long as the primary reason is self-care first. Self-care is very important, ladies and gentlemen. With that being said, thank you for tuning in to this episode of Last and the Nice Guys, the 80-20 or self-care parenting podcast episode. I don't know what I'm titling this. We'll see what happens. My name is Jason.
And I'm Manny.
And thank you for your time.
The Last of the Nice Guys. Follow, like, and subscribe on Twitter and Instagram at Last Nice Guys. Facebook.com/Last Nice Guys. Or email lastoftheniceguys@yahoo.com.
This is an audio production of Vibe Revelation Studios, the cure for your common day. VibeRevStudios.com.